in these two things. There is no veil between these two deeds and acceptance. Someone says the kalima or the father's dua on behalf of his child, there is no veil in the acceptance, it goes straight. Normally, parents do much for their children. Their physical needs, their material needs, their well-being, every parent, it's natural for every parent to be caring about it. Their happiness, their comfort. So all these aspects is the concern of the parents. In fact, you ask the parents, why are you working so hard and why are you running from one business to the other? So he will tell you, it is just because of my children that I'm working so hard. If I had not these children, then I wouldn't have seen the need to work so hard. So it is because of the dependence that we have and because of the children that we have that we work so hard, that we don't want them to suffer, we don't want them to go through difficulty, constraints. One day when they are grown up, they mustn't say that the father or the mother not take care of them, didn't show them the love that they had deserved, etc., etc. So for their well-being, we go through that difficulty and pain. But what we miss out is the spiritual aspect of these children. We worked for their material needs, for their physical needs, etc. And the physical needs, they end up at a certain point, right? And they are helpful, they are beneficial to a certain point. But beyond them, beyond that point, it can't be helpful. It can bring you a certain amount of comfort. But the comfort that it can bring is limited. It can't bring unlimited comfort. So the child is looking for comfort elsewhere. He's looking for peace of mind. He's looking for ease of the heart. But he doesn't find it because the father showed him everything that was physical and material. But that which was spiritual, father didn't instruct him in that. So when he didn't instruct him in that, now the child is looking for that comfort, that ease, that joy, that happiness, that inner happiness, he's looking for it. Like the child is wrong, if he's gone into the wrong, looking for comfort and ease and joy in the wrong things, like the child is wrong, proportionally the parents also are wrong. Because the parents were just concerned about his material, physical needs. They were not concerned about his spiritual needs. Right? As a result of the parents being concerned about the child's physical, material needs, you see the child is grown well, he is comfortable, he's got clothing, all that, right? He's got a shelter over his head, he's got a comfortable job. But the parents were totally disconcerned about his spiritual needs. They didn't see the child. When they saw the child, they didn't see that he had a spiritual dimension as well. If he's got a physical dimension, then he's got a spiritual dimension. If the physical requires comfort and ease and happiness, then the spiritual also needs some attention for its happiness and its ease. So this they had ignored entirely. When they ignored it either totally or partially, so the child thinks to himself, let me go and explore, because my parents didn't give it to me. Then let me go and experiment, let me go and try it out, where I can get the fulfillment of these needs of mine. So he'll experiment from one thing to the second, and the second thing to the third, and then it surfaces before the parents, this is what my child is doing. Now he doesn't know where to start off from. So as we get children, Hazrat Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to say that log ko bachche ki tamanna hoti hai. People aspire for having children. Lekin bachche ki dekhbhal, unki tarbiyat to aati nahi aur na uski taraf tawajjuh dete hain. But the aspect of looking after the children, giving them a direction, giving them a line in life, they aren't concerned about it. It's just for an excitement. I got a child, I got a child. I fathered a child. The mother feels that I've mothered a child. I've achieved something. So your parenthood doesn't end up at that point. Just fathering the child or mothering the child and educating him. That parenthood, that duty and responsibility doesn't end up there. It goes beyond that. Until you haven't seen him firm in his deen, then you've still got something suspended on your head. Your need will only end the day you see the child now is firm. He's firm on the path, he is righteous. He the du'as of the Anbiya, رَبِّ اجْعَلْنِي مُقِيمَ الصَّلَاةِ وَمِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِي رَبَّنَا إِنِّي أَسْكَنْتُ مِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِي بِوَادٍ غَيْرِ ذِي زَرْعٍ إِنْدَ بَيْتِكَ الْمُحَرَّمِ رَبَّنَا لِيُقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ. And you see, we are speaking about salah this morning, this afternoon. So what is this dua? That I have stayed here, I have lived here, that this children of mine must establish salah. Allah Ta'ala, let them establish salah. Right? Ujnubni wa baniya an na'bud al asnam. See, the spiritual dimension is coming out. Allah Ta'ala, protect me and my progeny from the worship of idols. When you say idols, kullu ma alhaka anillah fahuwa sanamuk. Anything that distracts you from Allah Ta'ala, that's your idol. أَفَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَٰهَهُ هَوَىٰ. If you just look into this verse here, you'll come to the same conclusion. كُلُّ مَا أَلْحَاكَ عَنِ اللَّهِ فَهُوَ سَنَمُكَ. Anything that distracts you, turns you away from Allah Ta'ala, that's your idol. So, when Ibrahim A.S. is making dua, he's making dua not only for himself. اُجْنُبْنِي وَبَنِيَّ. He's not a concern about them also, that they must not be distracted from the cause. In their spiritual dimension, they mustn't be distracted. Like Allah Ta'ala, you have saved them. Like I'm asking you, Allah Ta'ala, for the protection of their physical selves. Ij'al hadhal balada amina. Right? So, Rabbi ij'al hadhal balada amina. And marzuqhum min al-thamarat. What is this? This is all physical needs. Right? He's making an effort, he's asking Allah Ta'ala for their physical needs. Physical needs, basically, all of us require these two things. Safety, peace, and provisions. Peace and provisions we require. Basically, all over the world, this is what we need. Peace and provisions. Must be safety, peace, and provisions. We feel like settling in that place. Safety, safe. There isn't any hostility, any type of fear, etc. We want to stay there. And there is abundance of provisions, rosy, etc. It's freely available. So we don't mind settling there. These are the two basic physical needs that every human being needs. It's safe, it's peaceful. And our needs, our human needs are found easily. So he made dua for that. But he did not neglect the spiritual side. For the spiritual side, he asked for two things. One is, Ujnubani wa baniya an na'bud al asnam. Allah Ta'ala, grant us that protection that we not get into idolatry. In other words, we don't get distracted from Allah Ta'ala. That's the worst thing that can happen to a person. He gets distracted from Allah Ta'ala. That's the worst thing. I can't see a crime greater than anybody getting distracted from Allah Ta'ala. I don't know of any crime. The more you distract from Allah Ta'ala, then you're out. And as long as you got Allah Ta'ala before you, you're on the course, you're moving. But the moment Allah Ta'ala is out, then you're out. Then you're totally out. That is why we have a qibla, we have a direction in our namaz, right? We show that we are united in our worship, and the being that we worship is also one. There's unity in the worship, there's unity in the ma'bud as well, he's also one. And we have one single direction, so that the outward is complementing the inner belief. Can you see that? Our outer postures and our outer direction is complementing the inner. All one. You can imagine now, if someone came into the masjid, right? One person is performing namaz, left, right, east, west, north, south, all directions. Would there have been unity? No unity. The unity would have been lost. They wouldn't have been focus. So our outward performance is complementing the inner. The inner is that all worshipping Allah Ta'ala. One Allah Ta'ala. Inna hadhihi ummatukum ummatan wahida wa ana rabbukum fa'budun. See how beautiful. The Quran is absolutely natural. If you just look at the Quran, keep looking at it, but look at it with a little bit of tadabbur. It's one part by how Allah says, see how it's one way. It's just one way. Wa ana rabbukum, and I am your Rabb. So don't worry about anything else. Fa'budun, fattaqun. Worry about me only. What Allah is saying? Inna hadhi ummatukum ummatan wahida wa ana rabbukum. It's just one single way. I'm telling you people, it's just one single way, and I am your Rabb. So just be concerned about me. Don't worry about the rest of the world. See how clearly, how straight and how plainly Allah is putting it across to us. It's one way, and I am your Rabb. Right? Like the traffic officer says, this is just one road, and I am in control. So you don't have to be concerned about anything else, just be concerned about me, that you don't violate anything against me. Right? So will you have any other fears? What are many of the fears? You just need to see that, you know, just keep to the regulations of that particular police officer, right? He says, just keep it, keep according to what I say. This is one road only. There's no other road, there's just one single road, and I am the man in charge here. So just listen to me, that's all, you will go right. So Allah Baghi is saying, I am the one, I am totally in charge, and there's just one single way, there's no other way. So just be concerned about me, nothing else. وَأَنَا رَبُّكُمْ فَاتَّقُونَ. So where we have slipped off is this, in this spiritual dimension, we have slipped off. And for that moment when we went hook, line and sinker, you know, went right deep into material, we deliberately forgot that there is a spiritual dimension in our lives. Deliberately, we have forgotten there is a spiritual dimension in the life, and like the physical material dimension has to be comforted, it has to be taken care of. You definitely have to take care of the spiritual dimension, and if you don't, then you are resulting in disaster. One person showed me an article about the 50 wealthiest family in the world, you know, 50 wealthiest families in the world. This is the assets more or less, 1 trillion, 2 trillion, 80 billion, 150 billion, big numbers. Right? This is the assets that they own. But then he shows statistics about these 50 families, said each one of these families, there is a suicide in the family. So, were they short of any material and physical? When they're owning things like this, 1 trillion, what is trillion? 1 trillion, 1.5 trillion, 500 billion, see? Were they short of anything? Then what led them to suicide? The only thing that you can think of is, they tried everything of the material, they found that in the material there's a cut-off point. It can't go beyond that point. There is a point it cuts off. You got 1 billion, then two, then three, then it cuts off. Then, hey, now it's what? Lately there was one Dawood, I had to attend one Dawood. So the man tells me that my wife is about the richest woman in this, richest woman in this town, wherever it was, about the richest. He said, there isn't a thing that I haven't tried out, but there's no pleasure left in life. And not an old man, I would say about just less than 40 years. There isn't a thing that I haven't tried out, but there's no pleasure in life now. He's telling me firsthand, this was the statistics the papers are showing, and this is the man telling me that I've tested it out, I've tried it out firsthand. And I've tried everything, and there's no pleasure. I don't find the pleasure, I don't find the enjoyment. So what will you say? You will say to them that by you went into the material, into the physical, without realizing that the physical material will cut off at some point. We didn't realize that. And when it's going to cut off at that certain point, then you didn't generally need something for your continuity. Right? When you have come to that conclusion that this thing will cut off at a certain point, but now for life to continue, you need yourself to be cheered. You need to feel happy. You can't feel gloomy and depressed. Right? But you didn't worry and you weren't concerned about that dimension of life, that how must I cheer myself up? How must I keep myself up? So Allah Ta'ala has kept that dimension in each one's life, the dimension of spiritualism, of inner happiness, right? Right? Inner satisfaction he has kept in each one. Right? For the material happiness, there is certain things. One is food and comfort, etc. Right? Then the recreation that we have, sports and all that. Right? Sports or outings and all that we have. Game, whatever. Right? So that will give you a certain happiness to a certain point. But then after that it cuts off. Now you hunted. And you hunted every game. You hunted lions down, rhinos and the wild buffalo. About the most difficult thing to hunt down, wild buffalo, that's what they say. Right? So everything you, and then after that, or pirkya, and after then what? You've done everything, and then what? Right? Then you say, no, I cut off now, now what else? There's no challenges left for me. Right? So the world does definitely tell you that the world tells you that we cut off at a certain point. I can't offer you anything beyond this. Right? What the world says? That I can't offer you anything beyond this. I am limited, I can only offer you comforts and luxuries that are limited. Beyond that you want something, you won't get it here. That you'll get in Jannah. One old man, some relative of mine, he lost his wife, you see, so he came to Spingo Beach to get married again. So he's looking around the whole of Natal now, here, there, he came here. So he sees one girl, says, another, I want doche. This girl here, there's a problem, this problem. And the other girl, this problem here. Now he himself is about 65, 70. He's late now. Third girl, this thing got this problem here. Nose is too long, or whatever it is. Ear is too short, or something, whatever. Right. So I told the chacha, my relative, I told him, chacha, the girl you want, you'll get in Jannat. Yeah, whatever you get, pay shukr and carry on. What you want, that you'll get in Jannat. That is the ideal. But here in dunya, whatever you got, nose is too long, or eyes is too short, or whatever, that you just take it, kaam ko chalao. Just continue with your life. That ultimate and ideal will get in Jannat. So the physical material is like that. It must cut off at a certain point. You can't get beyond it. You can never try what you want. You can't get anything beyond it. So you have to understand that it's got a limitation. It can't go beyond. But what you need to work on is on the spiritual. Because the spiritual has got no limit. The enjoyment just continues. See? It continues and continues. It just goes on and on. The enjoyment comes so to such a point that you sometimes you can't even contain it. Ask someone who's got some enjoyment in sajda. Hey, I couldn't contain it, man. I was like bursting, that happiness I was bursting with. In the Haram Sharif, sometimes you get that feeling in the Haram Sharif, sometimes here, wherever. But that, and whereas there's nothing around, there's no girls around here, there's no music around here. There is any music, DJ and all that, nothing here. Rock or rave or nothing. But where that happiness, that where it's coming from? It's coming from Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala has got the source of it. So He's granting you that happiness. Right. And He's telling you that I still got stocks I got, but you can't take it, you can't handle it. It's too much for you. I'm giving you a little bit of, you can't contain it. So He's giving you, and He's allowing it, allowing that happiness to be continuous, rolling on and on. But then you need to explore that spiritual dimension. You explore that spiritual dimension, you will see the happiness. You see the happiness, you see the soothing feeling. And in all situations, you feel the togetherness of Allah Ta'ala. He is there with you. See, Musa alayhi salam is saying, "Kalla inna ma'iyya Rabbi, inna ma'iyya Rabbi sayahdeen." Allah Pak is with me, don't worry. My Allah Ta'ala is with me. So you begin to feel that Allah Pak is with me. That mu'min, that believer, he begins to feel, my Allah Ta'ala is with me. No matter what, but he feels within himself, he feels that conviction that Allah Ta'ala is with me, Allah Ta'ala is with me. So he doesn't feel isolated, he doesn't feel alone in the problem, he doesn't feel that he is left alone in the problem. Allah Pak is with me, no matter what, but my Allah Ta'ala is with me. No matter what constraint and difficulty is going, he feels that deep down consolement and happiness, Allah Pak is with me. But this comes in when we explore that spiritual dimension. So Ibrahim al-Islam, in order to bring to our understanding the spiritual dimension, he mentions just two things. One is an-na'bud al-asnam. Anything that distracts you from Allah Ta'ala, remove that. Anything that distracts you from Allah Ta'ala, from your focus. You know, we have in this etiquette, I say, just keep focused. And when you say keep focused, I mean, don't go and meditate too deep. Just moderate, with moderation. Because you go too deep, you go and meditate too deep, then you can't maintain it. Meditate so deeply, then you can't maintain it. You can't maintain the depth at all times. But if it is casual, moderation, you can continue it. On the Dasar Khan, you can also say, Allah Pak is with me. In your cubicle, you can say, Allah Pak is with me. In namaz, you can say, Allah Pak is with me. You're sitting down. But just think, just that, don't talk about other things. Think, if you need to talk, firstly don't talk. But if you need to talk, talk about a thing that will help you in the same focus. The same focus will be strengthened, will be reinforced. You understand? The same focus will be reinforced if you need to talk. But don't talk other things. Now you talk of now, hey, you know, after the holidays, Bilal, I want to take you for a cappuccino. Now Bilal is thinking, hey, cappuccino, what it looks like. I'm coming from the second Asman or the third Asman, where it comes from, how it looks like. So where is Magar is going to go? His mind is going to go, he's going to be moving away everywhere. That Puri is like cappuccino, peete rao, bhai. You have to discount ke liye aayo. Do that work. Try and build that concentration, that focus. Whatever is going to move you away from that focus, don't talk about it. Don't come near it. The mind is like, you just, you know, you trigger the mind in one direction, it's moving. Like it's got a wind of one direction, and it'll carry on moving. They say in the olden days, you know, about 200 years ago, they didn't have this boats that were propelled with machine and all, they didn't have. Engines and engine boats they didn't have 200 years ago. So how the boats then moved with the direction of the wind, you see. So some kitab I've seen that they are moving to Jeddah, and they docked in at Bombay. One favorable wind they got, and they're already seeing the shores of Jeddah. They already see the, but their luck, as they see the shore of Jeddah, they got another wind, opposite wind, and back they're seeing the shore of Bombay. So the magad is the same. The magad, insan's mind, is the same. One gush of one wind, and there from there, from one to the second, you're moving and you're moving and you're screwing away, escalating one way. Right? You thought about the birds. Some thought, just one thought about the birds. When someone just spoke about the birds, for example. You just heard birds. It's, yeah, he, atikaf, the right time now, the holiday time, summer is coming. Or spoke something by the birds, you know. And that Mulana Asjad is there, you know, Mulana Asjad's brother. He can organize something, a shelly for us. And we'll take all these chows and go. And he'll see us here, right, for the price and all that. And we'll scheme something out. Now one thing is going after the other. That's the human mind. I'm showing you how the human mind, how it works. It works like that. You can't escape that. It definitely works like that. So don't even talk about it. Don't discuss it. Don't even think about it. This thing, hey, I got this few days to learn focus. Focus of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Pak is one. You came to learn Tawheed. Oneness of Allah Ta'ala. So the more you want to keep in focus, you'll find that that aspect of Tawheed will be established in your heart. Then you can't shake it away. But I say, you can't take it too deep, because if you take it too deep, you can't maintain it. So take it with moderation, take it casually. Allah Pak is watching. Allah Pak is alone. Allah Pak is watching me. In your cubicle also, Allah Pak is watching me. He is one and he's watching me. I need to see him. You know, the Quran says just two things. فَعَبُدْهُ وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَيْهِ. What? فَعَبُدْهُ وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَيْهِ. Worship him and trust him. Worship him and trust him. Worship is the physical form of worship, right? Ibadat is the physical form of worship. And tawakkul is the inner form of worship. The inner form of worship is tawakkul, that your eyes are focused on Allah Ta'ala. And the physical outer dimension of ibadat is the physical form what you do. The inner spiritual is tawakkul. Tawakkul means you're looking at Allah Ta'ala, don't look at anything else. Hazrat Hakim Sahib says, Rahmat Barakatun, na goli ko dekho, na kali ko dekho. Dekho usko jisne usko rang diya. Now you look at one, this is a black woman and white woman. Someone is saying black is beautiful. And someone is saying white is beautiful. Now you're going to, until when are you going to move in this chakkar? Until when are you going to move in this chakkar? One is going to outsmart the other one. One girl walk in, and the other one is going to outsmart the first one. Right? And the third one will be even smarter. Then until when are you going to be dragged in the circle? You will become a circus of yourself. So don't allow yourself to be dragged in the circle. Dekho usko jisne usko rang baksha. Look at the one who's given him that, given these women that beauty and that attraction. And wallah, I tell you that the beauty, collective beauty of this world is not even a minuscule of the beauty of Jannah. Not even a minuscule. And Allah Pak doesn't descend it. وَإِن مِّن شَيْءٍ إِلَّا عِنْدَنَا خَزَائِنُ. Everything is in unlimited stock by Allah Ta'ala. Everything. Even beauty, unlimited stock. وَمَا نُنَزِّلُهُ إِلَّا بِقَدَرٍ مَعْلُومٍ. Allah Ta'ala sends down just a little bit. Because you can't take it. If He sends more than that, you can't take it. Your heart will burst. Allah Ta'ala just sends a little bit, how much you can manage. But your heart is too short. I show you something, you won't be able to take it. Your heart will burst just now. You need to continue with life. How are you going to continue? This is your heart, and you want this type of happiness, then your heart won't be able to manage it. You will die just now. So Allah Ta'ala just sends that happiness, etc. He sends it in limit. He doesn't send it beyond that. So, in order to get the spiritual thing right, there's two things the Prophet ﷺ is telling you. One is, don't get distracted. Just keep your focus. Allah Pak is watching me. I'm watching Allah Pak, and I need to trust Him. I need to worship Him. I need to look at Him. Everything else is by the way. I'm in the shop, but I'm watching Allah Ta'ala. But that customer came, Allah Pak sent him. The customer went away, Allah Pak sent him away. Right? The property picked up, Allah Pak picked it up. He brought it down. It came down, Allah Pak brought it down. So keep Allah Pak in front of you all the time. Don't keep all this thing here. I don't say don't take the necessary means. Adopt the necessary means. Whatever structures in this life, you must take it. Khudu hidrakum, the Quran Sharif says. The necessary means, necessary asbab, you adopt the necessary means, but keep your nazar on Allah Ta'ala. Right? Jani hai, jane do. What? It says, jani hai, to jane do. The life, it has to go. In anything of this world, it has to go. So let it go. Right? Anything of this life, it must go, it must perish. So let it go. Let it be. So this one thing is that keep Allah Ta'ala before us at all times, whether in the dastarkhan, whether in the masjid, whether in the cubicle, whether we are going to sleep, even if we are going to sleep. Obviously we can't keep on making zikr, but just let that zikr be playing in your mind. Allah, Allah Pak is in front of me, Allah Pak is watching, He loves me, Allah Pak is so kind, He is so loving, He is so caring. Just let that be the focus before you sleep. He is so loving, He is so kind, He is so compassionate, He is so merciful. And you at home, then talk about these things as you go to sleep. So the child also begins to relate to a creator. Allah is so loving, He's so compassionate, He's so merciful. See what He's provided for you today. So much of nice food He's given us, so nice clothes He's given. So let the child identify with Allah Ta'ala. As he's going to sleep also, he's talking, Allah gave this, Allah gave this, Allah gave this. You are talking, you're reminding the child. So the child is also identifying. And you're reminding yourself, Allah gave this. I'm thankful to Allah Ta'ala. And you're sleeping in that state of mind. So, you're introducing Allah Ta'ala to the child of yours. The child of yours is not lost. Who did Allah Pak did it? Who made it happen? Allah Pak made it happen. So, it's a lesson for you, it's a lesson for the child. Ibrahim alayhi salam is teaching his children. Right? Anbiya alayhi salam, all of them, they are concerned about the children. See, the Quran says, أَمْ كُنْتُمْ شُهَدَاءَ إِذْ حَضَرَ يَعْقُوبَ الْمَوْتِ. When Yaqub al-Islam is on the threshold of death, what are his last words? أَمْ كُنْتُمْ شُهَدَاءَ إِذْ حَضَرَ يَعْقُوبَ الْمَوْتِ إِذْ قَالَ لِبَنِيهِ مَا تَعْبُدُونَ مِنْ بَعْدِ. So he's called his children all around and he's asking them, by what are you going to do after me? What are you going to do? What ibadah, what are you going to do? مَا تَعْبُدُونَ مِنْ بَعْدِ. See the concern. What is the concern? What are you going to do? No, I'm going to have hardware business. No, hardware and software. So what are you going to do? Hardware, software. When this computer started, they're saying hardware, hard drive and all that. I'm thinking now, hardware is all the hardware shop. How they got the hardware inside the computer? They got their own istilah, their own terminology they got. So Yaqub alayhi salam, he's got a big progeny. The Quran speaks about 11, 12 children. He's called them all around. I'm on my way out, but what are you going to do after me? See the concern. The concern of Anbiya for their children. And Anbiya have got the greatest knowledge. There isn't anybody who has greater knowledge than Anbiya about the world and about the hereafter. Allah gives them the greatest knowledge. So you can't say they're backward in any way. We can be backwards. But Anbiya, both ways, utitu mafatihu khazainul ard. So the Anbiya have the greatest knowledge with respect to the world and the hereafter. But then too, in spite of that greatest knowledge, what are they concerned about? The greater concern is the spiritual dimension. Not to say that they're not concerned about the physical dimension. They're concerned. Otherwise, why Ibrahim alayhi salam said, وَرْزُقْهُمْ مِنَ الثَّمَرَاتِ رَبِّجْعَلْ هَذَا الْبَلَدَ آمِنَا. So he's got a concern about it. But that is by the way. The greater concern is the spiritual need. So as he's passing away, he's asking them, مَا تَعْبُدُونَ مِنْ بَعْدِ. So he's waiting for the answer. نَعْبُدُ إِلَهَكَ وَإِلَهَ آبَائِكَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَإِسْمَعِيلَ. And then again Allah Pak says that this is not just the bequest made by Yaqub alayhi salam. Wassa biha Ibrahimu banihi wa Yaqub. Ibrahim alayhi salam also made that same bequest to his children. Yaqub alayhi salam had a big progeny. Ibrahim alayhi salam also had a big ulad, right? So he made the similar bequest as Yaqub alayhi salam made. Ya baniya inna Allah astafa lakum ad-deen. Now as they are passing away, they're leaving the world, Allah Pak chosen this path for you. فَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. I'm telling you straight, I'm not responsible for you after I've left, but إِنَّ اللَّهَ اصْطَفَى لَكُمُ الدِّينَ فَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. This is the path Allah Pak has selected for you. You see to it that you die in the state of Islam. You die as Muslims. You die surrendering. You die in surrender to Allah Ta'ala. You know, the secret of life, the secret of happiness of life is in surrender. Take it from me. Without any reasoning and any dalil. In surrender is this happiness. I mentioned this afternoon as well. Just surrender, just give in. Allah Pak, you say this, I'll do it. You say, must do it, I'll do it. I don't understand it. And I don't need to understand it. You tell Allah Pak, I don't need to understand it. Now they ask you, now, why must I do this? Like your garden boy is coming to ask you, that why do you have to buy a stove? Buy, you carry or do your stove, garden work, you come in the field of the household. What do you understand? So no, you don't need to have a bus, you don't need to have a stove. You just put a couple of woods all together and light that fire. Why are you spending 5,000 on a stove? And another 10,000 on an oven? Bus, why you can make a bribe with that money, man. But you just carry on with your garden work, don't come and interfere with my work, my business. That's what you're telling me, isn't it? So Allah Pak is saying, you are like a garden boy. Your brain is weaker than that, comparison to Allah Ta'ala's wisdom. You're not even a garden boy. So why are you interfering with Allah Ta'ala's business? You just surrender, just keep quiet and just carry on. Chup chak, just carry on your work. Right? And the moment tum Allah Ta'ala ko hushyari bataye, the moment you show Allah Pak that you're intelligent, alright, I'll challenge you now. And the way he'll break you, that you don't know where you started from. You don't show your hushyari, don't show your intelligence to Allah Ta'ala. Show, I'm nothing, Allah Pak, I'm nothing. I surrender. فَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. So that's the secret of the happiness of life. Life in this world is just surrender. You surrender, you'll find, after some time you'll find the happiness. You may not understand it straight away. But after some time you'll find the happiness. You'll find the road is just opening. So two things. One is, he says, وَجْنُبُنِي وَبَنِيَ نَعْبُدُ الْأَصْنَامُ. Right? And I say, to get this right, one is just focus, right? Focus to Allah Ta'ala. And second is, to get that focus right, you have the mindset of taslim, of surrendering. And the second thing Ibrahim al-Islam is concerned about his children, رَبِّ جْعَلْنِي مُقِيمَ الصَّلَاةِ. Let them establish salah. You could have said, you know, Allah Ta'ala, Makkah Mukarrama, you made it غَيْرِ زِي زَرْعٍ, uncultivatable land. Nobody's living here. Allah Ta'ala, let it be a flourishing land and let it be flowing with streams. Let the land not be nice and fertile. We can make nice orchards and farms and all that. So, for the coming generations, this thing will be a nice, fertile land. You could have said that. Couldn't he say that? He could have said that. He was also concerned. And I mean, his love will be the greatest. Nabi's love is greater than our love. But he didn't make the dua. He said, just let my children be in namaz. Let my children be in namaz, establish namaz. One is they mustn't be distracted. Number two, they must be in namaz, establish namaz. But now, food, etc., you need to sustain life. You definitely need to sustain life. So Allah Pak, warzukum min al-thamarat. You see to it that they are given their provisions. Makkah doesn't have to be made a cultivatable, fertile land. But you feed them, O Allah Ta'ala. So as a result of the dua of Ibrahim al-Islam, if you find people from 100 different cultures and walks of life, everybody will find their food in Makkah. The Indonesian will find his rice. The Indian will find his spice. The American will find his burger, and the South African will find his biryani. Everything that you know, different cultures, they will find every ingredient of life, every ingredient that you need. The Bangladeshi will find his fish, everything you'll find there. Nothing you won't find. So this is the answer of the dua of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Warzuqhum min al-thamarat. Let them get engaged in namaz, but you see to their needs. They must worship you, and you must see to their needs. So Allah didn't plan it in that way, that they must get involved in farming, business and all that. Right? He planned it that they must get engaged in namaz and not be distracted. Keep that focus. Keep the focus, keep it on me. Keep you, and just keep your namaz right. And Rosie, leave it to me. I will sort that out. But you do your thing. Right? So that's what I'm saying, that today, this is where we have lost out. That the spiritual dimension in our children, in ourselves, we are not that concerned. The moment the child is born, concerned of his school, we send him creche, then preschool, and then at least 12 years to school, and then which university, etc. Right? Everybody, alim, not alim, everybody is concerned. Is the dunya kya kahegi ke tere bacche ko jahil rakha hai, didn't send him to school. That daughter of yours won't get proposals. If you didn't send her to school, she won't get proposals. Plenty of facts, reality is what people say. And if the elder in the family is not saying it, then that girl's friends are saying it to her. That if you're not going to get into school, what's going to happen? You won't get proposed. Nobody will propose you. Say you're very backward, so we can't get married to you. So everybody's focus is on that. Material. It's so hyped, like as though you made it, you know. That if there's no material, nothing can happen. And Allah says, no, you don't do that, you listen to me. You just keep two things. Keep your focus on me. And number two, keep your namaz right. And the rosy part of it, I will sort it out. Warzuqhum min al-thamarat, I will sort it out. You show me one person in your life, in your entire life, you saw him, right? He's not distracted, right? Number one. And he's performing namaz rightly, and you saw him starving. You saw him in constraints and difficulties. Show me one person. One person in your entire life, anybody, see, I give you a challenge. In your whole life, do you see any person who's not distracted? He's focused on Allah Ta'ala, and number two, and he's regular on his salat. And did you ever find that person in constraints, real difficulties? You'll never find. If you find the person in constraints and difficulties, then one of these two things he's moved away from. But the moment he comes back to this, he reverts to this, everything is working out, everything is just moving. So this is the dimension that we have to introduce to our children. Right? And in order to get this, what we learn from this du'as that I showed you just now, Ibrahim alayhi salam's du'as, is that we need to make a concerted effort to make du'a for our children. See, Ibrahim alayhi salam, right, is a Nabi, but he is making du'a for his children. Isn't he making du'a for his children? Today, the Imam Sahib read, رَبَّنَا هَبْلَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنِ. The righteous servants of Allah, they make du'a for their children as well. They make du'a for their children as well. You are knocking at the door of the Amir, of the generous person, a million times over. Will he just ignore you? He will definitely accede to your demands and your requests. You knocked at the door, Allah, you asked him once, twice. Every day you asked him. He'll see to it, inshallah, that everything will happen, everything will work out. But do you ask him? And he's telling you, Allah is telling you, Da'watul walid lil walad. You make dua for your son, I will answer it. Now what else you need? He's telling you, he's coming forward and telling you, Peshgi keh raha hai. Samne hokar kya ko keh raha hai. He comes front and tells you, you ask and I will give it to you. When Allah is saying, I'll give it to you, then why don't we ask? So, what our problem is that we're doing everything for the children, but we aren't asking Allah Ta'ala for their spiritual upliftment, guidance, direction, etc. We're not asking. If you're asking Allah Ta'ala, he must come out in school, must become this, that, whatever, his shop, investment, everything must work out right. But did we ask Allah Ta'ala about his spiritual dimension, about give it right, make it right? Let him be steady on his deen, let him be firm. Let him be a role model for his children to come. You allow it to work.
Mm-hmm.
Let them be establishing namaz. Let them not get distracted by the fancy and the glitter of the world. You know, this asnam can be anything, fancy, glitter of the world, all is asnam, distractions. So here Nabi Sam is telling us, Allah Pak is promising that you make dua for your children, I will answer it. Da'watul walid lil walad, there's no veil, go straight to Allah Ta'ala. But you go and do it every day, every day. Today you ask, tomorrow you ask, in the morning you ask, in the evening you ask, do it every day. And dil laga karke mango. And then complement it with an effort. You made dua and complement it with an effort. See? You start off a business, right? You ask Allah Ta'ala, but don't you complement it with an effort. You complement it with an effort. You sow the seed, you ask Allah Ta'ala, but you sow the seed as well. Then Allah Ta'ala grants you something. So you make that effort and make the dua, and then you see. Definitely Allah Ta'ala will answer. So, this is what we learned today. That these two things, one is the kalima la ilaha illallah, and number two is the parents' dua for the child. There is no veil in its acceptance. It must reach the arsh. So we make dua for them, make dua for ourselves, and make the dua for the children. Remember, for your dini protection and fortification, you need your own environment. You're coming into the house now, one child is taking his sabak in his reading, other child is making dua, other child is taking tasbih, right? Whether they are this age or they are 20 years in time, 20 years ahead in time, right? But isn't that a very, very welcoming environment? Huh? Isn't that a very, very encouraging environment? That you walk, or your children are married or whatever, and you telephone them, oh, Abba, this thing will come just now. He's just completing the namaz. Huh? After the namaz, they'll come to the telephone. So doesn't it bring you some cheer and happiness? No, he just went to the masjid, he's coming just now. So won't that bring you cheer and happiness? It'll bring you that cheer and happiness, definitely. The namaz, the making zikr, Quran Sharif, tilawat, they're doing the right things. But now that is an answer to all your dua. Right? But for that to happen, from now you have to make that effort. On one side you make an effort, on the other side you make dua, one will complement the other, you will see the end of your children. As you leaving this world, you will see that these people are all in namaz, they are reading namaz, they are Allah conscious, they are straight, they are upright, they are leading correct and true lives. Right? So it brings a cheer, it brings a happiness in your life. Right? So Mufti Shafi Sarramta says, that we do everything for our children. But what we don't do is, these things we don't do, is we don't make dua for them. One is to make dua for them, and together with making dua, then you assign them to Allah Ta'ala. Yaqub alayhi salam made the tadbir, all that, right? But then what he did, he assigned his children, فَاللَّهُ خَيْرٌ حَافِظًا وَهُوَ أَرْحَمُ الرَّحِيمِ. He assigned them to Allah Ta'ala. عَلَيْهِ تَوَكَّلْتُ وَعَلَيْهِ فَلْيَتَوَكَّلْ يُبْتَوَكِ. He assigned them, he trusted Allah Ta'ala. That the tadbir I need to do, I've done that. Udkhulu min abwaab mutafarriqa. So he made all the necessary tadbir. But then he said, alayhi tawakkaltu. Ma ughni ankum min Allah min shay. I can't help you out. Allah Pak, he is the final judge. And I assign your affair, my affair, everybody's affair to Allah Ta'ala. So what is, you make an effort. Number two, you assign your affair to Allah Ta'ala. Number three is you make dua. Allah Ta'ala tawfiq nasib.